It's good. It's worth getting. It's worth listening to if you weren't here. You don't have to pay for it. It's free. Okay, should we just pray? Father, I want to thank you that your goodness is following us. Father, I want to thank you for your wonderful ways with us. Father, I want to thank you for the things that you've done. The miracles that are going around about us all the time. So, Father, we want to come to your word, and I just pray that it would come to life for some people here today. I ask, Lord, that you would help me, speak through me in my weakness. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible, would you like to turn to Psalm 103? We looked at this psalm last week. We'll look at it again today. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion on his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to his children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and the kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of the word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works. In all places of his dominion, bless the Lord, O my soul. And we looked at this last week. Bless the Lord. The psalmist is telling his soul what to do. Soul, bless the Lord. And this word bless is the Hebrew word barak. And it means to kneel down in honor and submission and in praise of God. Bow and every tongue will confess that. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And sometimes, you know, you have to tell yourself to do it. You know, sometimes you might come into church and somebody's annoyed you, or somebody's upset you, or somebody's, you know, and you're not in a great mood, and along comes Kelly and starts singing the King of My Heart, and you just might not be in it or feel like it, or this is what you should do, which is praise God anyway. Worship him anyway. Bless him anyway. Because our reasons for blessing God are detached from the circumstances or that we find ourselves in and the feelings that we have at any particular moment. And we know sometimes it's really easy to just praise God. Other times it is a sacrifice of praise. It costs you. It costs your flesh. It costs your feelings. And you make that decision that no matter how I feel, I am going to praise God. The object of Barak is the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I was thinking of the Matt Redman song, 10,000 Reasons. If I could sing, I'd sing it to you, but I can't sing very well. But it goes like this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. And it says, the sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. So whatever happens in the day, let me be singing. And he's rich in love and slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I'll keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. And there are thousands upon thousands of reasons for us to find that just cause us to want to bless God. Forget not all his benefits. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He's reminding us to remember, and then he goes through a few benefits. I live in the UK. Okay. Has anybody complained about the weather or complained about something or wish they would live somewhere else? You know, the UK is like one of the most amazing places to live in. It really is. You know, I wrote some things down here about the UK because you guys and me can forget the benefits we have from living in the UK, because what you have as a norm, you fail to appreciate normally. So, you know, we have peace. That's great, isn't it? I mean, we might not like the Conservatives, or we might not like the Labour Party, or we might not like, but we do have peace. You know, the Labour Party aren't going to war with the Tories sort of physically or what have you. I mean, it's like we live in a tolerant, peaceful society. That is amazing. We have food. Most of us have an abundance of food, but there is food. We have prosperity and employment. We have a temperate climate. When was the last time you were hit by a typhoon or an earthquake or a hurricane or a, you know, I mean, that could be changing with climate change, with the floods and things. I don't know, but we've had a temperate climate. We've got law and order. We have free healthcare. That's amazing. Do you know what I learned about healthcare when I was 19 years old living in the Far East and I had to go to a doctor for the first time and pay cash? Do you know what I did? I looked for a cheap doctor. I went an hour into the country. I went to a country doctor. The only thing I cared about, could he speak English and would he give me antibiotics? You know, but I had to pay. We don't, as a rule, pay for healthcare. We have a benefit system. We have religious freedom. And do you know, I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying there's not injustice. I'm not saying there's not things that go on and so forth. I'm just saying we've got so many benefits just living here that we tend to forget them and we moan about things that are pretty insignificant, like the sun doesn't shine very much in Wales. There are people risking their lives in dinghies to cross channels to get to the UK. There are people that drive in the back of lorries thousands of miles to get in the UK. They want to come here because it's so wonderful. In all its imperfection. Now, in the same way, when we're part of the kingdom, we can forget the benefits of God. You can forget that he forgives all your iniquities. You can forget because he forgives all your iniquities, you can stand in righteousness before him. You can approach his throne in boldness. You don't have to live in guilt and condemnation. You can live in purity and in innocence because he forgives all. We're a forgiven people. Do you know, it says in Corinthians, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, I said this last week. I mean, let me just, has anybody fallen short of God's glory in the last 7 days? I'll keep my hand up so you don't have to feel, you know, there's about 25 of us, and then the 75 or so who haven't got their hands up, they've just fallen short for lying. So we've all fallen short of God's perfection and glory, and yet he forgives all our iniquities, and I can come back and I can take communion and receive forgiveness for everything and stand innocent before him. Then it says, who heals all your diseases. He's a God that heals. He's Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And you know, when you're fighting sickness, it might seem a long way away, but he's still the God who heals. You know, yesterday I was down my mother's, and my mother's fighting cancer. You know, she was given a death sentence, I don't know how many, over a year ago, sent home to die, and she's still fighting, and she's still living, and she's still believing. And I was down there because she cracked fractured her pelvis, so she's not got it's just one of those things, you know. Can happen to anybody. It's not related to the cancer, but we're down there, and I'm just there getting her cups of tea, and my brother's gone out, and you know, it's just my turn, if you like, to help. So we listen to John Osteen. So we listen to three messages by John Osteen on the TV, and in one of the messages he talks about his wife Dodie, and his wife Dodie, she got cancer, and they went to the doctor. She was 89 pounds. I think that's light. It's lighter than me anyway. And the doctor said to her, she has got cancer of the liver and she has weeks to live. Weeks to live. And he said, well, doctor, we're Christians and we believe in miracles. And the doctor said, you're going to need a miracle. And then John Osteen said, and I told the doctor, we're going to get a miracle. And he said that he carried her home, carried her into the car and so forth, took her home, and they got to confessing the God who heals all our diseases. And they started to confess the word. And when they started, he said it was like, they were like this tiny voice, by his stripes he heals. And then there was a big voice, cancer's going to kill your wife. It was like the devil was speaking cancer over their family, but they kept confessing the word, and 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 they kept confessing the word. Come in, everybody. It looks like the youth aren't out today. So little by little, the voice of cancer seemed smaller, and the voice of God's word got louder. And given 4 weeks to live, 35 years later, she's still alive because God healed her body. God is a healer of her body. And we're praying for Maria. And I went down to Maria back in November, and she was given, was it October? I can't remember when. She was given weeks to live. And I felt God say, we've got to believe to extend her life, just like Hezekiah. So I went down with the word, and we started to believe. And the doctor's words were weeks. So they had a Christmas meal to celebrate because it could be their last Christmas meal. Then they had another Christmas meal to celebrate. Then they got to Christmas and they had a Christmas meal on Christmas Day. And she's still with us. She's a fighter and she's fighting. But we've got a God that heals. We've got a God that does miracles. And already he's extended her life beyond the prognosis of the doctor. And we have to stand because our God heals the sick. And we'll fight, and we'll fight the fight of faith, and we'll encourage her, and we'll pray for her, and we'll stand with her, because God heals. Amen. He redeems my life from the pit. We talked about that. The pit was just like, it's like a prison. It's like a place of destruction. It's in a ditch. And so many people's lives are just in ditches that sometimes they made the ditch themselves because they were stupid. Sometimes stuff happens in life and it was unfair. The point isn't how they got in the ditch. We're not anybody's judge. The point is, I know a way out of the ditch. My God redeems us from the pit. And you know, we were preaching that on Sunday. And then on Monday, I had a phone call from Byron. And Byron had just been laid off. His boss just dismissed him. See, when those sort of things happen, your feelings kick in. And you go, well, where's God? You know, it happens to me too. Well, what am I going to say? Well, the truth was the same Sunday when he had a job to Monday when he didn't have a job. Is it the truth or isn't it the truth? Well, it's the truth. God will redeem his life from the pit. And I said, we've got to believe that God will turn this around for your good because he loves you and you're called to see him. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And so we prayed and I met with him and we prayed. And by the end of the week, he's got a better job. Because our God redeems our lives from the pit. Now, I praise God that it was by the end of the week. It might have been 10 days or 20 days or longer. But redemption is here. And all it is a matter of time. And see, when we face these things, it's a matter of time that God does what he says in his word. My God redeems me from the pit. I'm a redeemed man. Now let's look at verse 4. Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Now you can read over that really quick. It takes maybe 2 seconds to read it. And you can miss what God's done. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. I am crowned with steadfast love and mercy. Not I will be, but when I received Jesus, I became a crowned person. You're looking at a crowned man. What are you crowned with, Alex? Steadfast love and mercy. Now, what does crown mean? Okay, the Hebrew means to surround. It's like I am surrounded with steadfast love and mercy. It means to place on the head off. So here I am. I'm just like this ordinary Joe or Di, ordinary Di. I'm Welsh, kind of, sort of, by blood or what have you. And God grabs a hold of my life and he crowns me. Steadfast love and mercy. I'd become a different type of person. I was trying to think, how do I explain this? Now, if you're of a certain age, and maybe, you know, a third of the people here aren't, but if you're of a certain age, who remembers Ready Breck? Okay? And there was the Ready Breck kids, wasn't there? Who remembers the adverts where what would happen was they'd do this advert that, you know, Ready Breck was it central heating for kids? That's what they called it. So you'd have your Ready Breck, which is like a porridge, if you're young, a porridge paste, and you eat this porridge, and then when you would go out, you would glow orange. That's what we look. And then you would have all these kids glowing orange walking to school and on their bikes and so forth because they were the Ready Breck kids. Well, I'm not a Ready Breck kid. I'm a loving kindness and glory and mercy kid. So wherever I go, I glow. You might not see it, but you know what's on me? Loving kindness. Do you know, I've been crowned. But here's the interesting thing is to have a coronation, you have to have a death. So, I love the Queen. I really think she's amazing. And her dad died, George VI, on the 6th of February, 1952. She was coronated on the 2nd of June, 1953. So there was a death followed by a coronation. Now, I have been coronated or I have been crowned with loving kindness and mercy. But there had to be a death. Now the death was the death of Jesus. Jesus died on a cross so that I could be reconciled with God. But when I share in the life of Jesus, I also share in the death of Jesus. So when my old man died, when I received Christ into my heart, I became a new man crowned. I was coronated with all the promises of God in this book. Loving kindness and mercy. But think about it. We're crowned people. This is on us when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So for me, there's four things. I've just been thinking about it. You know, sometimes it's not good to think about something too much, but this is a good thing to think about. What does that mean, though? What are the implications of it? If I'm crowned with loving kindness and mercy, you know, I said we're like different types of people because God has put something on us, his loving kindness and his mercy. So the first thing I thought was this. I live in a new spiritual reality in this world. So John 17 verse 16 says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. We're not of the world anymore. I'm crowned and surrounded by steadfast love and mercy of the Almighty God. Do you know, I have you been reading the news recently? Or what? Look, it's just like terrible, isn't it? Here's four things. Australia is burning down. Australia's burning. The Davos conference is telling us the world is at a critical turning point, that if we don't change, it's over. The doomsday clock is 100 seconds to midnight. Do you know what I was thinking about this. What I'm really pleased about, there's another clock ticking. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. And that's the clock for the return of Christ. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. And I know that that'll come to fruition before we ever get to the end of the doomsday clock. So just that's a freebie. The fourth thing, if you read, the coronavirus could kill up to 60 million people. So, I mean, I don't know if that's true or not. But you know what I do know? I can't do much about any of those things. That's what the world is surrounded with, bad news. Let me tell you what I'm surrounded with. Loving kindness and goodness of the Lord God Almighty, who created me, who made me, who called me to himself, who's looking after me, just as we hear. My whole world is in the hands of God. Your world, if you put Christ in the center of your life, is in the hands of God. We don't have to worry about such things. Why? Because I can't change anything. I can only trust in someone. And I trust in the Lord God Almighty. So we shouldn't recycle or a message. I'm not talking about that sort of thing. I'm talking about taking on the fear and worry of what other people are saying. I'm going to take on the peace and confidence that I get from what God is saying to me. And I'm a different type of person. I've got a new spiritual reality. I'm one who is in the hand of God. I'm one who's a new creation. I'm one whose loving kindness and goodness I'm being surrounded by God's loving kindness and goodness. That's good news. Do you know what else? My new spiritual reality means it's this. I've been adopted. This God that surrounds me is my Father. And in this very verse, Psalm, it says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. I've got three girls, and the love that we have for our children, Jane and myself, the compassion we show to our children, just as I have compassion for my girls, so God, my Father, has compassion for me. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. So my new spiritual reality has placed me in a new family. I have a new name. I'm a glow-in-the-dark Christian. We are the light of the world, Jesus says. And it's just God is real. And when I take on what he says, that he crowns me. The only time I wear a crown is at Christmas time around the dinner table, one of those party hat things. But in the spirit, I have a crown on. You might not see it. I might not see it. But God says I am crowned with loving kindness and mercy, or steadfast love and mercy. So I live in a different spiritual reality in this world. The second thing is this. As you think about this, you get lost in wonder. Consider the truth. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, surrounds you and me with loving kindness, with steadfast love and mercy. It's a wonder. We sometimes sing this song, You Chose the Cross by Martin Lazell. And it says, you chose the cross with every breath. The perfect life, the perfect death, you chose the cross. A crown of thorns you wore for us and crowned us with eternal life. You chose the cross. See, my crowning of loving kindness and mercy is because of his crowning of thorns. I'm lost in wonder. I'm lost in love. I'm lost in praise forevermore. Because of Jesus' unfailing love, I am forgiven, I am restored. But sometimes we've got to get lost in the wonder of what God has done. And you hang around Christians and you hang around the Bible and we hang around each other, and sometimes it's just like we forget the benefits of the Lord. When I was a child, 9 years old, my dad took me to the Himalayas. 9 years old, we went pony trekking up the Himalayas. Of course, we didn't go up as far as Everest, because you can't pony trek up Everest. But we pony trekked up the Himalayas. 9 years old, I'm in this amazing, amazing wonder. And my dad would say to him, me and my brother Greg, on holiday with my dad. And my dad would say, look at those mountains, kids. Look at that, kids. Look at that. And we'd be like reading comics, and we'd be like, yeah. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah. Snow-top peaks. Just like, it was just amazing. And yet, as a nine-year-old child, I didn't deserve to be there. I was ignorant and just so obsessed with Batman that it meant nothing, you know. It was like, now, how many people have been to the Himalayas? I'm the only one in this whole congregation that has been to the Himalayas, and I messed up. I didn't appreciate it. I didn't look at the wonder. We've all been to the foot of the cross. And if we're not careful, we lose the wonder of Christ. We lose the wonder of He who emptied Himself and became nothing, that God would save us. There is a wonder to our Christianity. There is a wonder to this God Almighty. And when God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, says to me and says to you, I crown you with loving kindness, with steadfast love and mercy, that is a wonder. Sometimes we just need to stop and focus on the wonder of Jesus. The third thing, and these are just a few things I thought as I was meditating on it, it gives me a new direction for my affections. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. This God that created everything crowns me with His love and mercy. And the Apostle Paul writes just these really simple thoughts. Set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. Oh, there's lots of things to and people and just to set our affections on. But there's something about Christ, that we would set our affections on Him that sits at the right hand of the Father, forever intercessing for us. That we would set our affections on the Father, the one who sent His Son to die for us. That we would set our affections on the Holy Spirit that's been released to just change our lives. Set your affections. The interesting thing about that is I have a degree of control where my affection goes. So, you know, if somebody is not setting their affections on their wife, they're going to end up in trouble. I can choose to do that or not do that. If I'm not setting my affections on the things of God, I can set my affections on other things. Turn to Habakkuk 3. Verse 17. So if you have one of these ESV Bibles, 787 is my page. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food. The flocks be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on the high places. That's just a wonderful positioning of heart. Look, if I lose everything, that's what he's saying. I'll rejoice in the Lord. I'll get strength from God. God will help me. This is somebody whose affections isn't in the wine. It isn't in the harvest. It isn't in the flock. His affections are in God. If I lose everything, yet will I rejoice in God. I think that's a challenge for all of us, that we would set our affections on God, that our affections would be set above, that it wouldn't just be about stuff, it wouldn't just be about what's happening here. And then when we look at this scripture, that one of the benefits of walking with God is he crowns me with loving kindness and mercy. My goodness. Oh, I love him. I love him. I love him. Because of this, I can barak God. The fourth thing. Not only do we live in a new place in the Spirit, and there's a new spiritual reality, but there's a new practical reality. And that is that I can expect God to do good things for me, because his loving kindness flows into my reality. See, it says this in verse 4 of Psalm 103. Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. God wants to satisfy us with good. He is good. And I'm his child. And he looks down at me and says, see that Alex Ashton there? I like him. See that Alex Ashton there? I love him. And I'm going to be like a father to him. I'm going to have compassion on him. I'm going to help him. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to make his way straight. I'm going to help him in his marriage. I'm going to help him be a dad. Because I love him. Do you ever think that God might like you? He might really want to spend some time with you. He might love you. Now, I just want to hammer home a point, and then I'll tell a story. Psalm 31. We're going to go through a few scriptures in Psalms just to hammer home a point. Verse 9. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you in the sight of the children of mankind. Everybody say abundant. Well, that's about 10 of you. Come on, we can do better than this. How abundant? Should we say abundant? How abundant! It's like, it's not just a little bit, there's like, how abundant is your goodness stored up for me, stored up for you, for those who fear God. There's this abundance coming out. How abundant! Psalm 31 verse 19, sorry. Thank you. Psalm 34 verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who makes refuge in him, takes refuge in him. We can taste and see that God is good, the goodness of God, you know. Taste and see. When I flew to see my dad a few years ago, I took my first ever selfie. And I was in first class of Virgin, they wouldn't be at Virgin Airways, flying to Hong Kong. And I got my, so they said, would you like any champagne, sir? Well, I don't drink champagne, but I said, yes, I'll have some champagne. Give me all the free stuff, you know. That's like the poverty thinking, I guess. But I had the champagne, and I took my selfie, and I sent it to the kids, and I said, God is good. I didn't drink the champagne. I don't drink champagne. I gave it back, but it looked good in the photo. And here's this, you know, pastor from Bridgend flying first class there, first class back. You know, now for those, most of you know the backstory, my brother works for the airline. And, you know, I just think God's so amazing that he forces my brother to work for an airline so that I can get first class travel. Taste it. You experience it. This is the goodness of God. Look at the goodness of God. When you have those moments, you say, there is a God in heaven and he knows my name. This is the goodness of God. Taste it with your natural senses. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing. Do you know, all my adult life, Wales were rubbish at rugby. 26 years without a grand slam. And I don't know if we won it because God loves me enough, but it's just like, I bet Alex would like to go and see a grand slam match. I bet he'd like to go and see Wales win a grand slam. You bet. I had my ticket for the Ireland game. Boom. That was good. Okay, I'm just kind of messing, but there's no good thing he withholds from you. Let's expect good things to happen. You come to this church, good things will start happening to you. You fear God, you follow God, good things start happening to you. You hang around me, good things start happening to you. Why? Because the blessing is here. He's a good God. No good thing will he withhold from you. What good things are you in your heart that you want to see? What are the good things you're looking for God to do? He's not withholding them from you. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Do you know, the Bible says in James chapter 1, every good gift comes from above. Every good thing that's happened in my life, everything, a good thing that's happened in your life has come from above. The shadow of the Almighty is in it. So let's give thanks. Let's be a thankful people. I just sometimes look at some stuff and I go, wow, God has been so good to me. I am so thankful for what he's done in my life. I'm so thankful for what he's done with my children. I am so thankful for this goodness that I live in because of God. He's a good God. Psalm 145. You might be sitting there thinking, oh, this is just for Alex, this is. But this is in what the Bible says. 145 verse 9 says, the Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. See, there is a mercy of God on this nation right now because he doesn't give us what we deserve. He doesn't impute judgment on the sin that he sees, but he's good to all. He's good to all. The sun shines on the righteous and the sun shines on the unrighteous. He's good to all. God is a good God. And he wants to release his goodness into our lives through his son. You know, he crowns me with steadfast love and mercy and satisfies me with good things. Psalm 23, verse 6. I like this scripture. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely. And isn't it obvious that goodness is going to follow us all the days of our life? We should expect good things to happen to us because of the scriptures. We should expect good things to happen to us because of the promises of God. If it didn't say it, we shouldn't expect it, but it does say it. Therefore, we should be a people expecting to see the goodness of God. The psalmist says, I would have given up hope if I did not believe that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And you know, God is going to do some great things on our nation, some good things. And sometimes we can push away his goodness to the body, and he's good to the body, but he's good to the individual too. So, you know, 20 years ago, a few things happened. We had 2 children and not a lot of money. And when you don't have a lot of money and you have children, a lot of us have been there, that then dad doesn't get any disposable income. So no disposable income for me. It all goes on the family. So if we have spare cash, we don't spend it on me. We go to Folly Farm. If we have spare cash, we don't spend it on me. We go to Porthcawl. We spend it on the kids. And that's what we do for our children. And that doesn't make me special. That just makes me a dad. Yeah, dads, you know what I mean, don't you? When the money's short, you go without and the children get blessed to the degree you can. And if you can't bless them, what do you have to do? You teach them faith. So at that time, money was so short. Lydia came to us and she said, Dad, I want a scooter. And we said, brilliant. We didn't have a bean to rub together. The £26 scooter. They were all the rage in school. Everybody had scooters, or at least that's what Lydia would say. Well, everybody's got one. Can I have one? And we said, yes, you can have one, but we've got to believe God because we don't have any money. So we believed God, and by the end of the month, she had her money. We didn't, and it's like a great lesson of faith for our children. So, but here's the thing. I didn't have any disposable income. But I had a dad that loved me, a heavenly father that loved me, and he knew the things I liked. And, you know, I love him, and I love church, and I love what I do, but I got 2 hobbies. One of the hobbies was going to see rugby, Wales play, and the other hobby was playing historical board games, which is kind of a nerdy, geeky thing, but that's what I like. So 20 years ago, 1999, Wales hosted the World Cup. Anybody remember? We hosted the World Cup. We didn't win it, but we hosted it. And it dropped into the heart of my dad that he fancied going to the final and watching the final of the World Cup. So he flew back, bought a debenture for the stadium, went to the final. He lives abroad, if you didn't know, and he flew back abroad. And he gave me the debenture. So I've got a debenture in my hands to the stadium, which means I can get any ticket I can afford. It's not a lot of good if you haven't got any money. But my dad wants a debenture to be used. So for the last 20 years, he has been saying, buy the tickets, Al, and see who wants to go to the games. And nobody does. Brother's not interested. Mum. So for 20 years, I've been having my tickets paid for by my dad to go and see Wales play. That's great. I'm going to go on Saturday. Ticket paid for. Going to go in 3 weeks, ticket paid for. Going to go in 6 weeks, ticket paid for. Going to see all the Blues lose to Wales, hopefully. But here's my point. I couldn't afford it. But if I restricted myself to my income, I would never have gone. But a God loved me and his goodness came. At the same time, the internet's just coming in about this time, isn't it? I go on the internet onto a games website and it says the vice president is suffering from cancer. And the Spirit of the Lord says, write to him and pray for him. So I don't even know if he's alive. The posting's like 3 months. So I write him a letter, I email, and I say, Dear Roger, just want you to know I'm praying for you. That's all it kind of said. 2 weeks later, I get a letter back from him or an email back, and we start this conversation. And I just start to encourage him, and he survives cancer, and he gets back to work. And then all of a sudden, one quiet, cold autumn day, a box comes to me from the United States. For the next 4 years, this vice president of the games company is sending me hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds worth of games just to enjoy. The 2 things I love to enjoy, God saw, and he made a way. See, God loves you so much, there is a way. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He stores up abundant goodness for you. He satisfies you with goodness. I'm a satisfied man. I've got a good wife. I've got good children. I've got a good church. I've got good hobbies. I've got good family. I mean, it's just the goodness of God. He has satisfied me. Do I have any dreams and visions beyond that? Absolutely. That's what gives me hope for the goodness of God in the land of Wales. But God loves you. And you're not waiting for his loving kindness and mercy to come upon you. It's on you. It's not earned. It's given when we receive Christ. So when we look at those scriptures, I want you to think about he crowns you with loving kindness and mercy, or steadfast love and mercy. That we live in a different place to the place most people live. That we have wonder to get lost in. That it gives us a direction for our affections to God. And it brings a practical reality to our walk. We can expect good things to happen. So, you know, I was expecting God to deliver Byron, and praise God, he delivered him by Friday. I expect good things to happen to people who follow Jesus. As I reflect on these things, forgetting not his benefits, it causes me to worship him more. Barak, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, forgetting not his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who crowns me with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies me with good things, who redeems my life from the pit, who has compassion on me like a father has compassion on his children. This is our God. This is who we worship. I said something earlier that, I'll just look it up. 1 John 3. The worship team like to come up. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 says this. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. This letter isn't written to everybody. This letter is written to the church. And if you are born again by the Spirit of God, then you've been adopted into a family. But the message of Jesus is this, is that Jesus died for us on a cross so that if we put our faith in him, we can have our sins forgiven and be reconciled to God. It's a story of reconciliation, and there's a great cost that's involved. And that's the cost of a life exchanged. It's God says, if you give me your life, I'll give you my life. It's not automatic. We're all part of God's creation, but we're not all part of God's family. Adoption happens when we give our lives to Christ. The Bible talks about receiving Christ in your heart by faith. Because God doesn't want to be on the outside trying to speak to you. He wants to be on the inside living in you. And it costs everything. My life for his life. The Bible says if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. See, there's a lordship that's involved. And becoming a Christian is not just coming to church and agreeing with certain lists of doctrines. I did that for years, and I was never a Christian. Becoming a Christian involves giving your life to Christ and asking him to come into your heart to wash you clean and live within you by his Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about being born again of the Spirit of God, and it takes a step of faith. So when Gwyn came up earlier and he gave us this picture of a trapeze artist, that the trapeze artist is holds onto one bar and lets go and is caught by somebody the other side. We've all seen that in the circus or on television. But that's a little bit like becoming a Christian. You have to let go of your life and ask Christ to come into your life and by faith give him it. You know, for me, the picture was slightly different, that I was told it's like a cat stuck in a tree and there's a fireman just underneath saying, jump to the cat, but the cat's got to make that jump of faith. And after he said that, we sung this song, You Make Me Brave. It takes a brave person to give their life to Christ. And in a minute or two, I'm going to ask you to be brave. If there is anyone who'd like to do that, because I'm going to invite you to come forward and give your life to Christ. And here's the thing. How do I know if I should come forward or not? Your heart will start to speak to you. God will start to draw you by your heart. And it's kind of scary. It is like, am I going to let go of the bar and let God catch me? So should we just stand together? We're going to sing a song. Whatever. And just as I have just said, if you want to give your life to Christ, I will invite you just to do something really brave in a minute and just to come forward and to pray with me. And in that prayer, we're going to ask God to come into our lives.
Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Yes, he loves, yes, he loves.
He loves you. Jesus died on a cross to give his life for you. He had to die because the blood washes away sin, and sin is what keeps us away from being reconciled with the Father. So I'm going to ask you to do something brave. If you've never done this, if you've never given your life to Christ and you'd like to do that, we're going to just sing through He loves us a couple of times. But if you'd like to do that, if you'd like to give your life to Jesus, I will just invite you to come forward and take a step out. Be brave. Take a step of faith, and then we'll pray together. And we'll ask God to forgive us of our sins, to come into our heart and be our Lord and Savior. But just to say that is an exchange, your life for His. So if that's you, just as we sing this, I just invite you to come forward. Be afraid.
Yeah, He loves us. Oh,
He'll catch you.
How He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves. You make me brave. You make me brave. You call me into the waves. You make me brave. You make me brave. No fear can hinder now the love that made way. You make me brave. You make me brave. You call
this. I think God is speaking to at least one, there might be two. I don't want to prolong this or you know, but I do want you to come and talk to me afterwards. If your heart is speaking to you, then don't be afraid, just come and see me and I'll talk with you, and we'll discuss the next step. So let's just pray and then we'll dismiss. So Father, we want to thank You that Your word is true. Father, I want to thank You that Your Holy Spirit is in this place speaking to people. And Father, I ask, Lord, that You would make this real. That hearts would open to receive Christ. So, Father, I thank You for Your crowning of us with steadfast love and mercy. I thank You for all that You're doing in this place. I thank You for Your goodness towards us. And I bless this people. I release them with Your blessing, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. There's tea and coffee through those doors.